This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
PT Talker, the place for expertise, and this week's expert is with us today, Reggie Harborn. She is a physical therapist, certified pediatric specialist, and she has her PhD in developmental psychology. Is that right, Reggie?
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on PT Talker today. And, of course, as you know, you are our expert today. To tell us a little bit about some of the research that you've been working on. But before we get into that, I want to let everyone know that Reggie is, you actually are a physical therapist working at the Monroe Meyer Institute in Omaha, Nebraska.
That's right.
Okay, so you are one of the two principal investigators that is working on this new study using vibration. And I know a lot of my listeners are know about vibration, although you are using a different kind of vibration and using it for a different purpose. So let's get everyone started, first of all, with what is the name of your study, and if you could maybe give us your premise.
Okay. The name of the study, official name, is the Investigation of Interventions for Sitting Postural Control in Young Children with Cerebral Palsy.
Okay. Now, that's a mouthful.
I know. Basically, it's looking at an intervention for children with the diagnosis of cerebral palsy.
Okay. So you're, as I understand it, you found some research that existed out there using vibration, and you're trying to apply it to your application and see if it still has merit.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right, so let's get into a little bit about what you, the research you know that already exists, and then how are you going to apply it to pediatric patients with cerebral palsy?
Okay, well, there are some studies using adults, either elderly adults or adults with stroke or some type of nerve problem, where they've used this special kind of vibration, and they've usually done it as insoles in shoes. And it's a very slight vibration. It's something that you might not even feel, but it's still happening. So it's just below the level that you would notice it.
Okay, and let's clarify. Let's just, if I can interrupt you, let's clarify. Again, as I said at the opening, a lot of our therapists are probably used to the vibration platforms. Mm-hmm. You're talking about something totally different.
Right. Those vibration platforms, they really shake. I mean, there's no way that you wouldn't know that it was on,
yeah,
for example. But this vibration, the person using it might not know that it was on. It's a very subtle vibration.
Okay.
And it's also random. So with the other kind of vibration, the strong vibration that you were speaking of, those vibration platforms, it's a very regular back-and-forth pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But this vibration that I'm talking about is, it changes. So sometimes the frequency changes, sometimes the pattern of it changes, so that your nervous system doesn't accommodate to it. And it sort of amps up your sensation just a little bit so that you feel whether or not you're losing your balance.
Yeah.
And you react more quickly, and your balance reactions are better when you're using the vibration.
Okay. So, and you kind of shared with me how my body just gets used to wearing clothes, which I had never
right.
thought of before. I thought that was a great example.
Right.
So the reason you cannot use a non-random vibration or something that is very regular is because your body would just accommodate, you'd get used to it, and pretty mm-hmm. soon you would not be reacting to it.
Right. It's just like getting used to some kind of white noise sound in the background just some repetitive thing. You sort of tune it out after a while.
Yeah. Okay, so the research that already exists, because your study is about, what, halfway completed?
Right.
Okay, so the research that already is out there was using stroke patients and elderly patients, and in a standing position, you're now taking that information and applying it how?
We're applying it to children in the sitting position. So many children with cerebral palsy are delayed in learning how to sit by themselves.
Okay.
So they need special equipment, such as special chairs, to kind of hold them up. But we're looking at whether using vibration and therapy, also teaching them how to control their posture in sitting, helps them to learn to sit independently.
Okay.
And that's important because sitting is the primary position that most of us operate in. I mean, you're probably sitting down right now. I know I'm sitting down.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's where children start to play and really start to learn about the world around them.
Okay. And so what kind of preliminary trends or results are you starting to notice? And again, full disclaimer, we know you're not done. You can make no promises as to what the final result will show. But are you noticing some things that you can talk about now?
Well, the thing that I noticed the most and that actually helped us in getting this grant to do this study is the short-term effects. So for children who have pretty significant problems in sitting, when they sit on the mat, during the time that they are on the mat, they can sit for longer, they can sit more erect, better. Now, the big question is, does that have a carryover effect? So if we do this practice sitting on this mat, will it eventually teach them to sit on their own when they're not sitting on the mat? And that's why in this study we have two groups of children. They get randomly assigned. So one group gets therapy twice a week sitting on the mat, and the other group gets therapy twice a week not sitting on the mat, just kind of like what they would get therapeutically without the study. So as far as the long-term effects, that's really hard for me to say.
Sure.
My guess is that there are a lot of individual differences in the children. So some of the children who are more severe and have a lot more trouble sitting and knowing whether or not they're vertical and whether or not they're falling, those children, the vibration does seem to help. Children who are not so severe, who maybe are more moderately involved as far as the cerebral palsy goes, I don't know that it makes a big difference for them.
Okay.
And that's totally a guess on my part. I don't know that that's going to be the result in the end.
Right. You have not done your statistical analysis yet, obviously. So what can you tell our listeners who are mostly all physical therapists? What do you think is happening? How is the body responding to this vibration? How is that helping to keep those severely affected children more upright?
I think what's happening is that they may not have, well, we know that children with cerebral palsy, and especially severe cerebral palsy, don't have as good of sensation as other children, as typically developing children. So I think that, for one thing, it allows them to know where they are in space, kind of which part of me is touching the surface, and then when I start to tip over, I notice it, because I can feel it better.
Okay.
And so I think that's why when they're on the mat, we notice that they are sitting better, because they pick up the information, they pick it up faster, and then they can do something with it.
Yeah. And how often does this mat vibrate?
It hurts. Like cycles.
No. I guess, I mean, is it always on, or
it's always on?
Okay.
It's always on, but it's changing all the time.
Yeah,
so it has like six little vibrators in it.
Okay.
And by the way, we got those little vibrators from a company that makes equipment for pilots and air travel, for pilots who fly planes when they kind of go upside down and they don't know where they are. They use them to give the pilots cues about where they are in space.
Oh, wow, how interesting.
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting application, that we kind of changed that application completely. But so there's six different little vibrators, and they vibrate not all together at once. Sometimes, you know, there's some of them vibrating more than others.
Sure,
And we can change the level. We test that with each child. Some of them need higher amplitude of vibration than others. Like, they just don't notice it when it's really low, so we have to turn it up high.
Yeah. Now, being a physical therapist, do you envision, or can you imagine any other applications in that our listeners might be seeing out there where you think more research should be done, or that there's a possibility that this could help others?
Well, I've been wondering about it myself, because I am a practicing therapist, and I'm thinking that if it is a short-term effect that we're seeing, an immediate effect rather than a long-term effect that will carry on, carry over, that this might be something that we could eventually see being built into special chairs.
Mm-hmm.
That might allow people to, even though they have to have a supportive seat, allow them to be more dynamic in that seat and maybe have more control, switch their weight so that they can be more active in their environment, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that even if there is a short-term effect, that we can utilize that information to the advantage of kids with more severe problems.
I see. So you envision that it'd be possible someday that there might be a vibrating wheelchair?
Yeah, I guess that would be
something
I would think would be a possibility.
It's possible. You may have just invented the first one right here. So.
Well, they have vibrating lounge chairs. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. All
it
right.
would just be a different type of vibration.
Yeah. Now, your co-investigator is, you want to mention his name and little bit about him, too?
Yes, his name is Nick Sturgio. He is a PhD biomechanist, and he does all the special measurement that we do to see if the postural control is improving. He has kind of a special way of looking at sitting postural control. We have the kids sit on a fourth platform, which measures how you lean in different directions as you're balancing. And then he takes that data and analyzes it, you know, with a lot of different equations to determine if they're getting more stable, if they have a better range of movement while they're sitting. So I'm kind of the people person where I, you know, we treat the children here and evaluate them and take the data, and then the data, all the numbers, goes to Nick and his lab, and then they do their special analysis.
Great. And tell us just real quick about the Monroe-Meyer Institute. What is that?
It is a university program of excellence, which means that it's funded by the federal government to do service for children with developmental disabilities. And we do training for all different professions, physical, occupational, speech therapy, physicians, all different disciplines that would work with children with developmental disabilities. And that's our focus, to do evaluations, provide service, do training, do community outreach, things like that, all related to developmental disabilities of all ages.
And that's part of the University of Nebraska?
Right, part of the University of Nebraska Medical Center.
All right, excellent. Okay, well, we have come to the end of our time, so I want to thank you for taking time away from your research and your patience to join us today on PT Talker.
Okay, well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Oh, yeah, and certainly all of our listeners, if anyone should have a question or want to, maybe direct something to Reggie, all you'd have to do is just send an email quickly to me at feedback@pttalker.com, and I'll be sure to forward that on to Reggie. So you've been listening to PT Talker. Our guest today was Reggie Harborn at PT. She is a certified pediatric specialist, a PhD. She has her PhD in developmental psychology. She is talking to us today from Omaha, Nebraska, where I'll bet the weather is beautiful and everything is great in Nebraska. That's where I was born, so it's got to be good over there. Anyway, thank you again for joining us, Reggie.
Okay, you're welcome.
And want to remind everyone that you can get previous episodes just by logging into iTunes and searching PT Talker. We're there. All of our previous episodes, I think we've got something like maybe 50 episodes now that are now into our volume of work. And also you can go to our website at www.pttalker.com. So this is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.